Our scripture for this morning, and it doesn't say it on your bulletin, but we'll be saying it in the future. This is March 6th. This is Lent Sunday 1. Lent Sunday 1. Next week, I anticipate that the bulletin will say, under the date, it will say Lent Sunday 2. Our scripture is rather extended, but you know it's only a verse or two here and there, but there are a lot of them, and so I encourage you to follow these on the back of your bulletin, and then I'll be referring to almost all of those as we go through the message. John 10:10, the beginning one. These are all from the NIV. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Mark 1:17. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Luke 9:23 and 24. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. And then Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mark 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And John 14:1-3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word. As I say, this is the first Sunday of six Sundays during Lent. That's what your bulletin was going to say, but I've told you that. What we call Lent is 40 days and six Sundays of reflection and preparation as Christians to look toward those last 40 days of the human life of Jesus, those final weeks just before his crucifixion, before his sacrificial death on the cross, to pay in full and forever all of the redeeming wages for the sins of you and me. During those 40 days and six Sundays, we do best by paying close attention to those last days Jesus had with his followers, giving personal attention in our prayers, personal attention in our giving of alms, that's our tithes and offerings, and even with some thoughtful fasting, all to bring to our minds as much as we can, all that we know about Jesus. And the glory and the joy is that after the murderous act of death by crucifixion, sentence upon Jesus by the Jewish religious leaders and Pilate's Roman soldiers, then after that, glory be. Glory be. There's the morning resurrection of Jesus on Sunday, the first day of the new week, after 3 days of the death and burial of Jesus, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the week just ending. It is that glory and joy that led Sue and me to want to sing our song for this day to be Because He Lives. Hallelujah, He lives. Amen. That's the promise of perhaps the most important story of God's holy word in our Bible. You know, our Bible is great with such a story of God's love and mercy, but it is also great partly because of the warnings that it contains. If it were not for those great stop signs, you know, warnings that we face on the road to destruction, many of us would fall into a free fall of despair because of some new foolishness of our own decisions or the error of our ways. The Bible indeed does have important warnings for us. But you know, it's even more great because of the many gracious invitations that God extends to us. The very best news for the lives of people can be found in those many invitations that the Bible contains. The Bible would be a great book even if it contained only one gracious invitation from God to humans. However, from the beginning to the end, it contains a continuing series of invitations. The God who made man and placed him in a beautiful garden with a beloved female companion and the very pleasant occupation of just taking care of that garden has been seeking to create within humans a condition that would make possible the restoration of that precious fellowship that Eve's and Adam's tragic first sin left mankind by our human nature no longer able to enjoy perfect sinless fellowship with our Creator. As we come to the last chapter of the Bible, and almost to the very last verse, it's evident that the Holy Spirit of God led the inspired writer John to repeat God's great eternal invocation once more. And so we'll both start with that, and we will conclude with it with this message. There's something very dramatic about God's final recorded invitation, Revelation 22:17. You know, if you study it closely, you'll find that all of the persuasive powers of divine love are wrapped up in this verse. The Holy Spirit extends the invitation. The inviting bride is a reference to Christ's bride, the church. And that church is in the world to extend God's invitation to people. Individual believers are encouraged to extend this invitation, to repeat the word. The text encourages people to recognize the hunger and thirst for God in their hearts and to respond to the divine invitation to find life in its fullness. There's something very touching about God's final recorded invitation. Why should the great God extend more than one invitation for people to come to the banquet table prepared by divine grace? It's interesting to note, in studying the life and ministry of our Lord, how often words of invitation fell gracefully from His lips. So look with me at some of these gracious invitations found in God's Word. And as usual, some of the texts that I will be quoting are a little bit lengthy, and so I'll just give some references, but you know, I've been trying to train you. Have a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the ones we don't read. Okay. Well, first of all, there's the great invitation to come for real life. On one occasion, our Lord, with very deep sadness, expressed regret that people were refusing to come to Him to receive life. You find that in John 5, verses 39 through 40. On another occasion, the first of our texts this morning's He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's John 10:10. And one of Jesus' parables deals with this gracious invitation to come to the great banquet table that God has prepared for those, all of us, who are willing to come. It's in Luke 14, verses 16 through 23. And it's all of us who are willing to come and eat and drink and have life. Jesus came to offer forgiveness to those who have sinned against God. He invited people to come to him for forgiveness, a restoration of life. Christ came to give life to those who are in spiritual death. And guess what? That's all of us before we find Christ and the salvation from sin that he gives to us. He invites people to come to him so that they might have life, John 10:28. And then there's the invitation to come for fruitfulness. Perhaps those to whom the Lord spoke in quoted in Mark 1:17 on your bulletin there, the fishermen, they were the ones that the Lord spoke to. They had been some of the part-time followers, or sometimes called disciples, of John the Baptist. And we're safe in assuming that they had already been hearing about, maybe even listening to, and probably wanting to build a trust in Jesus in the days before he called to them here in Mark 1:17. He called them then to a life of fishers of men discipleship that could and would produce great fruitfulness if they would leave their nets and follow him. Jesus, our Lord, is eager to do something so much more than just give us a ticket to heaven. He wants to lead us to true fulfillment in life, a fruitful life in the here and now. In order to do this, we just have to relinquish our self-centeredness and give ourselves over unreservedly to the service of Jesus as our Lord. And because we are representatives of Jesus, to ministry of mercies to others. You have there the reference Luke 9:23-24. We must, with the help of the Holy Spirit, put away to a place like unto death our naturally selfish self. We must instead let the resurrected, living Christ live within us. And as we do so, we will have revealed to us by the Holy Spirit life in its fullness. And in so doing, we open ourselves to the possibility of fruitful ministering to others in the many areas of their greatest possible needs. And then there's a great invitation that comes to us for relief and rest. Excuse me, Matthew 11:28-30. Our full of grace Lord extends a gracious invitation to those who labor and struggle under the burdens and responsibilities of life. He speaks a word of invitation to those who labor under a heavy burden of guilt, frustration, and failure. He extends his gracious invitation to those who find the burdens and responsibilities of life to be crushing and difficult to bear. And really, don't those things include all of us? Amen. His promise is not one to remove burdens and responsibilities of life completely, but rather to give us the assistance and the support we need, that which can bring encouragement to us and then peace to our hearts. Because of Jesus' divine, complete adequacy, he's able to extend this all-inclusive invitation for relief and rest. But unfortunately, I'm afraid this is true. We try to take on life by ourselves. And then when we do that, we rob him of the privilege of blessing us as we neglect to respond to his invitation of rest and help. We rob ourselves of the rest and of the help that we need for the inevitable bearing of life's responsibilities, inevitable because they do come. And so how are we to meet them with this promise invitation? There's an invitation to come for insight and understanding. John 1:39 is simply a friendly invitation. But this is one that is loaded. I encourage you to look that one up. Some disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus because of their curiosity. They really had a deep hunger for insight into the meaning of this person of ministry, a person who had just shortly before been revealed by his cousin John. And they felt a new and a very strong desire for a better grasp of the purposes of God, and it appeared that this carpenter's son could help them, could teach them. Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary, was gracious to them. He had no hesitation to invite them to come and spend the day with him. And the truth is, hallelujah, Jesus continues to extend this invitation to us, that John 1:39 invitation. Come and see. Come and see. Now, in our day, we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we study and pray and enter into an understanding of the meaning and the purposes of life. God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, now present in us, our Trinitarian God, is eager to give us here and now illuminating light for our own road ahead. He'll provide us with the wisdom and understanding we need for living in these days. Thus, we need to hear his invitation to come and see and to respond. And not only for the season of Lent that we're starting on this Lord's Day, but every day.
Amen. Amen.
Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Amen.
You know, Enoch, you've heard of Enoch. He's just a human person of the Old Testament, but he walked so well with God, God took him right on to heaven without death. And we, as human children of God, like Enoch, that's all he was, a human child of God. Well, maybe not quite as well as did Enoch. We can walk and talk with the living Christ today if we will trust and obey him. And then, at our death, God will take us to heaven too. And finally, there's the invitation to enter the Heavenly Father's home. And this is Matthew 25, 34 through 40. You don't have that on your bulletin. You need to write that one down. As our Lord approached the end of his public ministry, he spoke of preparing a place for those who loved and faithfully followed him. We know, we read this morning John 14, 1 through 3, where Jesus invites his followers to come to the many rooms of the Heavenly Father that he is preparing for us. That's the NIV translation. I kind of like that translation. It calls them mansions. In the parable of the great judgment in Matthew 25, Jesus implies that those who have given themselves in ministries of mercy will have the privilege of entering not only into the Father's house, but also, verse 34 says that we read, the one that we read in today's text, of Matthew 25, 34, it says that we will enter into a divine eternal inheritance. You see, we do not earn our way into the Father's house. We inherit it as his children. This privilege is granted to us by God's grace through believing faith in his Son. However, in order to have a rich and wonderful spiritual inheritance in the home of the Heavenly Father, we are invited as his children to give of ourselves in the ministries of Christ, here and now, among people. A simple and outstanding way in which we can minister as a Christian is in ministry to the helpless, to the unfortunate, and to the needy. Those we would consider the least. The Lord said in verse 40, concluding that parable of Matthew 25, the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Amen. And the final invitation of our several texts this morning is the most gracious invitation ever extended, extending, adding to the invitation of that great banquet in heaven that I mentioned early on in Luke 14, verses 16 through 23. We go to Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water, of life. It is given by the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is echoed also by the church, by individual Christians. It is understood and given also by the man or woman who has in their heart a yearning for that water of life. This gracious invitation offers salvation and security, forgiveness and cleansing, eternal life as the gift of God. You see, it is the will of God that people respond to his invitation with a, "Yes, Lord, I will come." Let the one who hears say, "Come." And so I invite you this day to spend the rest of your life recognizing and responding to the gracious invitations of the Lord, ones we have seen today, and to the many more that are found all throughout the Word of God. Amen. And we say amen. Amen. Yes, we do. Amen.